This is the Page Publishing Book Club. How you doing? I'm Alice Stockton Rossini. You know, it's no secret some of the most talented people in the entertainment industry battle mental illness. It's their curse, but at the same time, it's often the source of their inspiration. Our first author celebrates his dad in his book entitled The In-Between Artist, The Story of Tony DeRosi, a guy who became famous teaching kids how to draw on the radio. Sounds crazy, I know. And then he went on to become a TV star.
My name is David F. DeRosi. I'm a native California, born and raised in Eagle Rock, and currently live in La Cañada, Flint Ridge, California, a small community at the northeast section of Los Angeles. I've just finished kind of spending 35 plus years as a salesperson, a very successful salesperson in the water treatment industry. And now I'm semi-retired, work part-time as a water consultant, and also an author. I've always loved to write. One of the main reasons I wrote this book, my mom gave me a scrapbook and diaries of her and my father with all their articles and newspaper articles since 1932, about 2 years before she passed, 12 years ago. It's kind of like a promise I made to her when I started writing the book about 6 years ago, and I was actually able to finish it this past year. And it made me feel pretty darn good. And I wanted to share it with the world because basically I wrote about my experience as a young boy growing up with a bipolar father who actually had 5 major nervous breakdowns while he was working his way to become a celebrity in Hollywood and radio and TV in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And I want to talk about how bipolar conditions interferes with genius creativity. You know, and I wanted to let people know what it was like growing up with this situation. The thing is, I kind of was the caretaker of the family, like a lot of kids are when they have situations in the family with mental illness. And I was always the one they went to keep everything in balance at home. So I saw my dad being successful. You know, after his career, when on shows like Sanford and Son, All in the Family, and he actually worked on Dean Martin's show with Jonathan Winters, and you know, he talked about that, who actually also struggled with bipolar conditions.
Huh. So your dad is somebody people would know.
Yes, he was at the top of his trade, like in the 30s and early 40s. He got an Emmy for his first Cartoonist of the Year radio program in 1948, even before TV. And then 4 years after that, he had his own TV show on KTLA and KHA-TV, and it hung out with a lot of celebrities.
And I bet you have some great pictures, too, don't you?
Oh, yeah, and I'm actually started my own social media page, The In-Between Artist. I have thousands and thousands of pictures, and I'm going to post those on there to really share what it was like during those days. And if anybody liked that movie, A Beautiful Mind, it's very similar to that story, and it's in the era of, if anybody's ever seen that movie, Cinderella Man. They dressed like that. My dad had the top hat, the top coat, and he was out there singing in vaudeville. He actually did 37, he did a whole year with my mom after they got married and traveled 48 states and did vaudeville at the era of Frank Sinatra.
Hmm. So are you able to get attention to your book by posting these pictures? And
yeah, it really has. And I just recently did the Facebook page. And then, you know, the way I've been promoting it is I've been running ads in local newspapers, and I actually finally got a book signing, you know, because the corona has been kind of tough out there. Then I got 100 people that are going to attend, but obviously in certain conditions. And I actually signed up with a publicity manager that's going to put me in front of 75 producers and writers and podcast people.
That's great.
Yes, I'm excited.
Is the ultimate goal here to get this story on the big screen?
That's the ultimate goal. It's a great story about an immigrant, Italian immigrant family that came to America, you know, succeeded with 11 children, and how he settled in Missoula, Montana. Yeah, I think it's a natural to be a movie someday. And I just want everybody to know who Tony DeRosi was. And I'm really excited because now he'll be around forever. But he struggled, and like if it was this day and age, he would be at the top, you know, but taught kids how to draw cartoons on the radio when TV wasn't around.
Yeah. Well, we have a radio show you know, 710 WOR is a very famous radio station, and the gambling family, you know, started it. And this guy used to do exercises on the air, you know, like people would do exercises on the air. So if they, you know, if they could do that, they can draw cartoons with your dad.
Yeah. One of the interviews in the book. You know, he was working for Disney, and he actually, down the street was KHJ, and he ran into this producer in the hallway. He always wanted his radio show, and he got up there, and he says, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to teach kids how to draw on the radio. He says, you've got to be kidding me. And when the book, it shows, he says, well, give me a show by Saturday. So he had his first TV show that way, just, you know, calling on Disney.
Wow. What do you mean by KHJ? the in-between artist?
The in-between artist, I picked the name because the in-between artist is an animator for Disney before graphics that takes one scene from the other. And I researched that, and that was his first job with Walt Disney as an in-between artist. He was one of the first, and he worked on Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Huh. And he actually had a lot to do with making the character Dopey on Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. So I thought that'd be a great name for the book.
Sure is, Dave. Great story and great promotional materials. Thanks. John Healy is the producer of our next book entitled That's How It Started, written in pencil by Tony McGurran. He was born in 1941, came to the U.S. from Ireland when he was 16, and lived a life so colorful, a friend told him to write a page a day, and eventually he'd have a book. You take it from there, John.
They're all true stories from the time he was a young child. You know, he almost lost his arm. He was in hospital. Stories like that, real people.
I came here in 1958, and I went to school for refrigeration, air conditioning, and I worked at that for a while. And then I got out of that, and I went into truck driving over the road, and I got myself a black partner, Jimmy Reese. And he was from down south, so he knew how to handle white people. And we were down there in the 60s when the civil rights was going on. And we ran into a few bad problems, but that's in the book. And it was quite an experience being with him through that period of time. I did that for like 5 years. And then I give it all up and I became a bartender on the west side of Manhattan. And it turned out that it was a very, very rough bar I was in. I was there for 8 years, and it was held up 12 times. And there was a police lieutenant there on two occasions, and he shot two guys one night, and he shot one guy another night. And that was what I did. I just wrote the stories because I have no imagination. I wrote the stories as they happened to me. And I finished up with a whole book of about 380 pages. I never wrote anything down until I met John Healy. And John Healy, when I would tell these stories, John Healy said to me, you know, you should write these stories down and I'll take care of them. So I just decided to, because I had the memory, it really happened to me. I didn't have to research my mind. So I just wrote the stories as they happened, and he took care of it from there.
Does one particular story stand out for you?
There was one, a black man, Mr. Austin, and he actually bartended in Harlem, and he lived in the building that I worked in. And he'd come in to have a nightcap on his way home. And one night when he came in, the stick-up guys came in, and they put us all into the bathroom. And we were very, very hot, perspiring. And Mr. Austin yells out at the top of his voice, he says, now listen here, he said, if you're on a ship, the captain is the last man off. But we happen to be in a shit house, and Stoney is the first guy out. Everybody was scared to go out, so he made me open the door. Yeah, that's one anyway. There, some of them was, even though they were stick up, some of them was quite funny, you know.
Did anybody famous ever walk into your bar?
Fussy Galore is mentioned in the book. She died only last April, actually, from the Bond movie, you know, James Bond movie.
Right. And the name of the bar?
Was called the LaSalle.
What do you do with yourself now, Stoney?
Oh, yeah. I finished up buying a bar on the east side, and I opened up a restaurant with the bar because the bar I worked in on the west side, it had no restaurant. And I figured if I had a restaurant, it would eliminate the tougher people coming in, which it did. I was fortunate. I never had any trouble in the bar. And now I'm retired from it. I own the building. I rented the place to a couple of guys.
There's a lot of history in the book and a lot of good work ethic because he worked hard and he played hard. And would you believe it, we were approached by a film company called 809 Media, and they think it's worthy of a film because of the, you know, the drama and excitement. It is the roller coaster read, you know.
We might have a movie here.
We might have a movie here, yep, definitely.
You end up making a movie. I want that interview, mister.
You will. Hey, Alice, you'll be the first person I'll call.
All right, I got you on tape.
Thank you so much.
Stoney, you're going to talk to me, right, when you become a star?
Oh, yeah, thank you very much, Alice.
Okay. Thank you, Alice.
You might think an assault that left a Muslim American man wounded for life, followed by discrimination after 9/11 and a shady insurance settlement, would leave him disgusted with the U.S., but the truth is, no one loved America more. The author is using the name Adam Noor to honor his son. But you say people know you by your real name, which is?
Fabio Gasol.
Okay. And the name of your book is The True Story of a Muslim Middle Eastern Family in the United States, Part 1.
Yes. I'm from Jordan. My book talking about if the Arabian Muslim, they love America or they not love America. What they feel when 9/11 happened. My book talking about my father murdered. Who killed my father in the United States? My book talking about when you hire attorney, make sure he always told you about all details about your case.
In your blurb here, it says that you had a dream. And your dream was to immigrate to the United States and become a famous singer.
Yes, yes. Came here to be like famous in America.
You were working at a local gas station to pay your bills.
Yes.
And you were robbed and brutally beaten almost to death.
Yes.
Why were you attacked?
For no reason. Like the guy, he wanted to steal money from me.
And so you had health problems for the rest of your life?
Of course. Back injury, neck, leg, and unfortunately, mental issue.
And you had a battle with the insurance company?
The insurance company and my attorney, they do discrimination for me because I sign contract for they should send someone translation English, Arabic to explain to me everything. So in this contract, I lose $1,333,000 because they give me annuity for rest of my life. They make advantage of me because my language. No, I signed the settlement, and I don't know what I signed for it.
Because they didn't have an interpreter.
Yeah. So my life for them mean nothing. This is a story, my experience. It is America, a dream country, or sometimes going to be a nightmare, you know?
Are you sorry you came to the United States?
No, I'm proud to be in America. I'm proud to be in America. I'm proud to be an American citizen. Still, I'm proud.
Have we learned anything?
I think in my experience, no. America love everybody. I still believe that. But some people, they have, like me, has accident, okay? But I judge America. America is the best country in the world. You know, I can't give my blood to America. Even if I'm sick, I can't go fight for America. America is a great country.
And you have your own Facebook page, right?
Yes, I have big Facebook page. Follow me like 517,000. Like my page, 200 17,000.
Wow, that's pretty good there, Adam. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. We've got to take a short break, but we are coming right back. This is the Page Publishing Book Club.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then now's the time to call Page Publishing at 800-204-6099 and do it immediately. You see, they're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review most of the books submitted to them. And they'll even give you their feedback. And if they like what they read, Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, and other outlets. They'll handle everything. Copyright protection, printing, cover art, publicity, and editing. So if you've written a novel, a children's book, a cookbook, inspirational work, a book of poetry, or biography, and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-204-6099 now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. For your free author submission kit, call Page Publishing at 800-204-6099.
We're back on the Page Publishing Book Club. I'm Alice Stockton Rossini. Our next author's done a lot of writing over the years, and she's got a pile of children's books to her credit, but her first published book is an autobiography entitled Growing Up Topsy.
My name is Arlene Wright. What inspired me to write the book was I would tell little incidents to friends, and I'd say, you should write a book, you should write a book. They all encouraged me. I did a lot of travel, and so I had a lot of wonderful experiences. So that's why I wrote my book. In my former life, I was a co-publisher of a little educational publishing company called The Wright Group. And we marketed to grade schools, beginning readers. And before that, I was a graphic designer. I have been an artist since I was a little girl. I love to draw. And to tell you the truth, I've written 21 children's books. And we dearly love to get them published, but in the meantime, I wrote this book about growing up Topsy. And it's about my humble beginnings. It was during the Great Depression, and my father was out of work. He was a railroad man, and he had no work. And so the day I was born, he was standing in a work line waiting to get a job, and my oldest sister ran and got him and got me to the hospital in time. And then growing up, it was tough, but I didn't know how tough it was. I didn't know that we were poor because I just thought everybody else was the same way. And then I was encouraged by a little girlfriend's parents telling me how creative I was. I never heard that from anybody before. So that was kind of an inspiration. I began drawing and sketching and eventually painting. And as I got into high school, my two best friends, they both called me Topsy because my last name was Top. And so it kind of stuck. And even the teachers were calling me Topsy. It's kind of cute. So I have always been Topsy. Got married real early. I was still in high school. I was not pregnant, but he was pressuring me. So I said, we'll get married, and we got married. I had 6 months to go in school, and I made it. And the guidance teacher kept telling me, if you're pregnant, you have to tell me, then you have to leave school. Well, I wasn't. I didn't get pregnant until probably the month before I graduated, which was perfect. And my firstborn was in February of that next year, followed by three more kids, two girls first and two boys second. I guess the message I'm telling people is persevere. Don't give up your dreams. Set goals and work toward it. If you read my book, at one point I'm in Minneapolis and I've gotten fired from three different jobs. I went to bed that night and said, all right, I give up. I'm going back to Iowa. And I woke up in the morning and said, like hell I will. I'm going to keep at it. And so I did. I persevered. You just have to have that something inside you that tells you to just set your goal and work at it. Keep going. That's my main message. And life can be beautiful. I married a second time. He had the publishing company. He had a small publishing company. And when we married, I was a full partner. And so we had a wonderful experience. We went from a little ma and pa to a very lucrative business. It took about 8 years, I guess, struggling from ma and pa and up to being able to make a big profit. It was a good life.
So what made you write your autobiography instead of getting all those children's books published?
I could never find an agent who wanted to take them. And so right now I'm illustrating them, so maybe that'll help to find a editor.
Yeah, so you anyway, might actually publish, finally, the children's books.
I hope so.
All right, Arlene, thank you. A dream of being a writer inspired our next author into action, and the result is Promises Under the Stars.
Hi, my name is C.L. Greenlee. I am from Augusta, Georgia. I have three daughters, and I started writing 1992 when my second daughter was born, and I just start dreaming, and one of my dreams, I just started writing. And basically, the books are based on, we all sin, because we all come short glory of God, but throughout prayer and love, no matter what your sin is, you can always go back to Jesus and your family. So my books basically have all female characters. They all have some type of sin, not major sin, but sin enough that normal people would be ashamed. Oh, I did this. But with the love of family and the forgiveness of Jesus, your life can still have a purpose. And okay. I've got 5 books written. This is the first one. And some of the books are based on things that I've seen either through my lifetime or what was going on at the time I wrote it. The first two characters are Betty and Joe. And because we were military, it's kind of based on the Falcon Wars. So that would be like in the 1990s. Well, Betty and Joe were both basically neighbors, but they were always best friends, but didn't really have a relationship, you know, love relationship until they both went to college. She went to medical school and he went into the military at the West Point. And so they were on opposite coasts. And throughout their time, those 4 years apart, they would be having conversations and the little love bug took over, but they kind of didn't know it. Or at least she didn't. He kind of did, but she didn't. And he was able to charter a plane. And so he'd visit all the time. Well, he finally got orders to the Vulcans. So one night of passion caused consequences. She was pregnant, but she didn't want to tell him anything. He already knew what he wanted, but she didn't because she was pregnant and then had the baby. So throughout, it was just basically her trying to just struggle with, does she really love him? That was that first book, basically. It was just, you know, things happen and you just have to go on with the consequences. So she went back to school. She met this gentleman and made her decide what her feelings is towards Joe or if she was in love with the other person that I introduced. It helped her decide what way she wanted to go. But I do have a Facebook page. Look up C.L. Greenlee. I've got the video that Paige has done. But we've been doing a lot of homemade things. Been making bookmarks and then been handing out bookmarks at stores and stuff like that. And then hopefully by word of mouth, eventually the one person that you need to pick up the book and look at it. And if they like it, hopefully they'll say, hey, I just found a new book. You know, yeah. One of those Oprah Winfrey moments. You just somebody famous or somebody well-known enough, or even a YouTuber will pick it up like, hey, I just finished reading a book. You've got to try it out. You know, it always takes that one person to help an unknown artist become a known author.
That's right. You never know. That's why you got to put it out there. Thank you so much. And finally, one last love story before we go. It's entitled The Story, Book One.
Hello, my name is Susan Johnson. I live in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm a legal practitioner, nurse, and I'm an author. I wrote a book titled The Story, the first of a 3-part saga, The Story, Book One. A lot of people have asked me if this is real life or if it's fiction. And my answer usually is when they get to the end of book 3, they will know for sure if it's fiction or real life. I believe life is stranger than fiction. There are a lot of things we cannot really ascribe to any particular reason, but something bigger than us sometimes is at work in our lives that makes certain things happen that seem more like not real, but actually real. I'm a Christian, and I believe in God, and I believe in the supernatural. And sometimes we believe some supernatural things happen that we can't explain and that lead us to where we happen to be at certain places in our lifetime. And I think a few supernatural things or a few things I can't really explain happened to me that led me to start writing this story. My main character is named Alexia, a young lady who went through a lot of sorrow who basically actually thought she had reached the end of her rope, had given up on love. And at the time, she thought it was over for her. She had met the love of her life, and everything seemed absolutely perfect. Unfortunately, it turned out the love of her life was all fake. It was built on lies, and she found herself alone. She had previously been married, widowed, been through so much trauma and heartache, and thought she had finally found the love of her life. This turned out to be a lie. So she's left with a pregnancy, she's left with young children, and she's basically running away from what she used to know, not really sure of what to do or what to make of her life, and running to a different town, trying to look for answers or trying to decide on what next to do. And right at the time she thought it was over, or she had to start thinking of life afresh, completely different from what she knew before, love found her and built a life for her from there, a life she never expected, that was basically out of this world. You know, so it's, I would say it's more of a story of hope as well. You know, so she found love, she found wealth, she found friendship, she found comfort, things she had never really thought were important, never dreamt of, but kind of giving to her all in all. It's just like Solomon asking God for wisdom to rule the children of Israel. And in return, God gave him wisdom, wealth, fame. And this was basically, so to speak, what Alexia found. Okay. When she found the love she really hadn't been looking for. She also ends up losing this as well. But like I said, that will be in subsequent books. And we'll find out how it ends up with her.
All right, Susan, looking forward to what happens next. And we happen to be out of time, but we're not out of authors. We'll be back next week with more stories and more ideas for pandemic promotion right here on the Page Publishing Book Club. If you missed anything, you know where to go, 710WOR.com, and download the podcast. I'm Alice Stockton-Rossini. Catch you next time.